You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How do we equip youth with tools for when life's ups and downs happen? Well, today, we're going to take a look at a new Christ-centered mental health curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Looking forward to digging into that with the authors of the curriculum. I'm really excited about this. We got to talk about it a little bit, I think about a year ago.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to chatting about that. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, the mental health curriculum Resilient Minds from Concordia Publishing House, Dr. Belinda Karge. She's a professor in the School of Education at Concordia University Irvine. Dr. Karge, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Kara Bratton is also an assistant professor in the School of Education at Concordia University Irvine. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And Dr. Jeremiah Stokes, a licensed psychotherapist, owner and clinical director of Stokes Counseling and Consulting in Maitland, Florida. He's also an adjunct professor at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. Dr. Stokes, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Resilient Minds curriculum is for middle school and high school students, published by Concordia Publishing House. And I am just thrilled that we have something like this available for schools.
Yeah.
And that Lutheran schools have an opportunity, and many other schools have the opportunity to make use of this. But I want to talk about how you all got involved. So Dr. Karge, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your professional background and how that connected you to developing this curriculum.
Absolutely. Professional background includes many years teaching, working as an administrator, traveling internationally. I taught overseas as well. And just have always loved research. And I'm one of those people, I'm kind of a research geek. I enjoy really digging into what others have said about the research. And then now working in the doctoral program the last 10 years at Concordia University Irvine, I've been able to really, you know, dig into research myself with my students. So a few years back, Dr. Stokes and I started talking about research, and we realized at the time he was working in the Townsend Institute at Concordia University Irvine, and we realized that we had mutual connections and we really enjoyed thinking about how we can support adolescents in schools. And we started talking about what kind of research we could do together. And that's really how this started. We started digging in and realizing, oh, wow, there's not a lot out there in terms of curriculum. And Dr. Stokes said, it's always been a dream of mine to develop a curriculum. I'm like, let's do it. And so he and I started working on the curriculum initially, independently, just the two of us, just kind of digging into the research, figuring out what was needed, looking at anxiety and anger, you know, some of the big adolescent areas. And as we started to develop this, we realized that we probably should reach out for a publisher sooner than later, and reached out to Concordia Publishing. And right about that time, Dr. Bratton joined Concordia University Irvine. And she and I have a kindred spirits in the work of special education. And we started talking about this curriculum needs to be for teachers. There's a lot out there for counselors and psychologists and, you know, people who work day to day in the licensing. But what about teachers who need time to be together and to really work with their students as a class? And so that's kind of how we all got together, the three of us, really bonded on that concept of let's put together something that'll be really dynamite that will work first for junior high. So we started with 5th and 6th, 7th and 8th, and then just recently the high school edition has been published.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And it's a wonderful resource for teachers in use in the classroom. Dr. Stokes, tell us about a little bit about your background and what you were excited about with this project.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in my 15th year of clinical practice as a therapist. And throughout the course of my career, I've done a lot of work with kids and families. And in working with kids and families, I've recognized that there's a lot of limitations out there in the community as far as the educational component goes with mental health. You know, so we hear a lot about mental health in mainstream media. Kids get a lot of information about mental health that's not always accurate. Sometimes it's actually damaging. And so in my time in providing therapeutic services with kids and families, I realized that, you know, it would be great if kids had an opportunity to actually learn about mental health. You know, what is mental health? How do we conceptualize it? How do we define it? And so as Dr. Karge mentioned, when I had this sort of thought, I connected with her and, you know, we decided to formulate this idea regarding a mental health curriculum. And that's how the process started. But what pulled me into this is my passion of working with children and families.
That's fantastic. Dr. Bratton, what about you? Your background, and you got pulled into this project a little bit later, but obviously you really enjoy what the product that happened.
Yeah. So similar to Belinda, like she said, we definitely are kindred spirits. My background is in special education as well. And there's always loved research also. So again, those connections, at the time, actually, when I talked with Dr. Karge and Dr. Stokes about starting this curriculum, I was an adjunct for Concordia, but I was serving in a full-time role as special education director for Lutheran Special Education Ministries. And part of that role, I was doing a lot of consulting with schools and teachers. And the thing that just kept coming up over and over and over was behavior, which, you know, as we know, overlaps greatly with mental health. So being an adjunct at that time at Concordia, you know, getting to know Dr. Karge, and then she introduced me to Dr. Stokes. So they were just starting to write this and said, hey, would you like to join us? And I thought, well, what a great opportunity to, again, take what I'd learned about behavior, what I'd learned works for teachers, what doesn't work for teachers in terms of, you know, we're not asking teachers to be counselors. We want teachers to see that there are things that they can do to help students and to start that conversation about mental health without being counselors. So throughout that time of writing even the middle school curriculum, then I transitioned to full-time at Concordia. So again, it's just been a blessing to work on this and just to see that, again, there is something for teachers that also doesn't take away the faith component, you know, that just adds to, you know, the Christian education, whether it's a Christian school or, you know, Sunday school, you know, youth group type of thing, but that Christian element is embedded in everything that we have laid out in this curriculum.
I think the concept of providing a resource to teachers is just a brilliant idea. I think equipping teachers to be able to teach this curriculum is so valuable. Let's talk about the state of mental health and the ability to navigate life's challenges, particularly among youth in the U.S. today. Dr. Stokes, let's start with you. How would you describe the state of mental health among youth in the United States today and their ability to navigate challenges of ups and downs?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues is when we think about mental health, if you ask a kid about mental health or even an adult for that matter, typically what they'll do is they'll describe mental illness. They'll describe what's wrong. They'll describe what we would call psychopathology. They have a very little understanding in actually describing and defining mental health. And so mental health is essentially, we can correlate it to physical health. You know, when we think about physical health, we think about nutrition and making sure that you have physicals and that you exercise and all of these things. Kids and adults have difficulty conceptualizing what mental health is. And mental health in and of itself is having optimal levels of well-being as it relates to your thought patterns, your emotional management, making good choices, healthy interpersonal relationships. And so I think the biggest thing with what we're dealing with in terms of a challenge in our society today is kids don't really know what it means to be mentally healthy, especially, and I had referenced this to the first question, you know, when you ask a kid, hey, what is mental health? They're, you know, the information that they're getting may be a video from TikTok, or they're learning about these specific mental health diagnoses. So they have very little skill set in terms of being able to understand what mental health is. That's the first part. The second part is that mental illness is on the rise substantially. Some studies show that upwards of 40 to 50% of kids deal with some sort of diagnosable mental illness. And there's a lot of theories as to why mental illness is on the rise, but certainly I can tell you as a clinician who works with kids and families, kids are really struggling out there today. And so I think, you know, designing this curriculum is an attempt to try to meet some of the demands that are out there from a mental illness standpoint.
Dr. Karge, anything to add to that?
I think being proactive is where we are with this is we want teachers to start having conversations and talking to students and engaging them in discussions before the situation arises. But that's why we were so adamant of starting with fifth grade, you know, before we get to those high school years, which the numbers show the largest in terms of you know, anxiety and anger and some of those areas of mental health. So being proactive became very important to us.
Dr. Bratton, anything to add about the state of mental health among youth today?
Just to add to what Dr. Stokes shared in terms of the statistics, again, we know that this is a huge issue with adolescents and young people. But, you know, one of the things I hear continuously is, you know, those of us who are, you know, in the classroom maybe, or, you know, a little more seasoned in our professional and personal lives, you know, really criticize youth and say, you know, why is there so much anxiety? You know, why is this such an issue right now? And almost, I feel like sometimes putting youth in the position where we're not trying to help, we're just criticizing for, you know, and any of the factors that have impacted and made mental health, you know, such an issue right now. And I just always feel like criticizing them for something that, you know, is just, it, you know, generational and kind of beyond their control, it's not helpful. That doesn't improve their mental health. So, you know, really digging into, you know, what are those strategies that, again, help them understand, but also give strategies to, you know, help prevent, you know, maybe mental health from getting more serious, but also just, you know, being proactive, like Dr. Karg said. So that's just always my thing, too, is let's just stop criticizing for what is and let's help.
We have more to learn about the Resilient Minds curriculum for middle and high school students. From Concordia Publishing House, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the authors of the Resilient Minds curriculum for middle and high school students from Concordia Publishing House, Dr. Belinda Karg, Dr. Kara Bratton, and Dr. Jeremiah Stokes. And we've talked about some of the state of mental health in the United States and this curriculum for middle and high school students. What will these students learn in this curriculum? How are they going to be equipped to face life's challenges? Dr. Karg, let's start with you.
Well, as I said, we're trying to be proactive. And in being proactive, we've designed the curriculum to kind of walk through some of the key elements that we believe are critical from the research related to mental health. So we teach them about their brain and how does the brain work and how does that come together. We spend time really talking about ways that we can be calm and rest in God's promises. And when we're anxious, we're going to trust Jesus. And how do we do that? How does that work out? We talk about forming our identity in Christ. And if I have an identity in Christ, then how does that connect to who I am for mental health? We talk about transforming anger and what happens when someone gets angry. So the curriculum will lead to what happens in the brain, but more importantly, what are some skills? And one of the cool things that I've really enjoyed in working with Dr. Stokes is early on, Dr. Bratton and I were just picking his brain. We're like, okay, so you have an adolescent in your practice who has this issue. What strategies are you using? And that has been so much fun for us because every single lesson includes a strategy. And there's a student book where the students have the strategies and they can tuck that away and they can pull that out at a later date, or hopefully it's embedded in their mindset. So when something happens, they're able to, you know, just jump right in and remember, say, the discussion about healthy boundaries or the discussion about healthy relationships or, you know, something like that.
Hmm. Dr. Stokes, maybe an example of something that students might learn or an exercise or a strategy that they might gain through this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think an example could be, let's say that a student is experiencing anxiety. We sort of facilitate a pathway for them to be able to identify what anxiety feels like. What does it feel like physiologically? How does it show up in your mind? And one particular way that anxiety can show up is with what we call ruminating thoughts. So we help the students identify if they're having an unhealthy, unwanted, ruminating thought. We set up a pathway for them where they're able to identify that and then modify that. And they modify that by doing some breathing techniques, by journaling, by opening up with another classmate. And so I think the basis of this is we want students to be able to identify what feels wrong or what feels threatening or what feels unhealthy internally, and then having practical skills to then mitigate the effects of that. Hmm.
Dr. Bratton, what did you learn through this process as you were working with Dr. Karge and Dr. Stokes about the, you know, some of the skills or some of the strategies?
Well, I think as Dr. Karge said, you know, picking Jeremiah's brain, I wish we could have just, you know, spent a whole weekend and just recorded his thoughts and all the brilliant strategies that he has. So, I mean, there were definitely some I knew from, you know, previous work and research, but he definitely added to, you know, strategies that we knew and could then describe to teachers. And I believe that's a really important point, is even as a teacher may look at this curriculum, you know, there are strategies in there, but it's also not meant to be, this is the only strategy that's going to work for anxiety or anger. You know, so students and teachers end up with a toolkit of strategies. And so I think it's also about students figuring out what works well for me in this situation. When I'm feeling anxious, again, when I'm identifying those physical feelings, you know, when I'm identifying what's happening in my head, maybe the strategy in the book is not the one that works the best for them. Maybe it was a strategy from a prior lesson. So I think just having the variety of strategies laid out, you know, is the most helpful thing, so that, you know, there's things to pick from and students can pick what works for them. And likewise, teachers, I think as they read through this and look and they're modeling these for students, they learn to realize, oh, you know, maybe there's something that works for me when I'm feeling this way. So in teaching it to students, they're also learning, much like we did as we wrote the curriculum.
Dr. Bratton, talk more about how this equips teachers, how this helps teachers, especially teachers who don't maybe have any background in any kind of mental health, or teachers who may be unfamiliar with all the strategies that you're talking about. How does this equip teachers to be that person in the classroom that's able to model a healthy way of dealing with some of the things that we all experience?
Sure. Well, I think one of the really important things about the curriculum is we wrote it with almost like a script. So if you purchase the teacher guide, it's not that you are going to be completely like, what do I say? How do I introduce this topic? So CPH did a great job of, you know, taking our ideas and really laying it out so that if a teacher is not comfortable at the beginning, we know that's a big issue. And so as much as we try to make it teacher friendly, you know, we realize that there might still be teachers who kind of shy away, like, I can't teach about anxiety. I don't even understand it fully myself. So there is, along with the slide deck you get, you know, that you present the slides to the students, we inserted information. So, you know, you're kind of prompting, this is what the teacher can say. Now, teachers could definitely add to that. And, you know, year after year, they get more comfortable having those conversations. You know, it's likely they'll find themselves adding little bits here and there as they learn more. And we also added to the curriculum, you know, some things that maybe teachers could search for to look for more information without using specific websites. Just here are some things, you know, to kind of add to what is already here. So, you know, made to just be, you know, if you had to pick it up 10 minutes before the lesson started, there is that little bit of a script, although we recommend looking at it a day or two before just to familiarize yourself with the topic. But, you know, one of the things research shows over and over is that adults and children alike think that mental health conversations are taboo and they are not comfortable engaging in the conversation. So we wanted to remove that barrier and see how we could make teachers comfortable and then how they could make students comfortable engaging in the conversation.
Dr. Karge, what would you say is unique about the Christ-centered approach to mental health in this curriculum?
It's a great question. And I have to tell you, back when we were first designing this, we thought we were writing a secular curriculum at the beginning. And because of our faith and the deep roots that the three of us have, everything kept going back to the Bible. Everything kept going back biblically. And finally, we realized, we're like, wait a minute, this needs to be a Christ-centered. This is how you approach mental health, is you approach it through the Lord. You approach it through what the Bible says. And so that has really guided us on this journey. Every lesson has a Bible verse. And the way it is set up is at the beginning, you introduce the Bible verse and kind of ask the students, hey, what do you think this means? You know, connected to whatever the topic is for the day. And then at the end of the lesson, you circle back to that Bible verse. And there's some teaching prompts for, you know, how you can tie the Bible verse to whatever it was that you were working on for that day. And we see that as really valuable. And I should also note, since it's been published, we have learned that a lot of youth directors are using this in their programs because it is nice to have the script and the slides and all that ready for you. And youth group is a great time for conversations to happen. And one of the things this program does is we were very intentional about student engagement. So intentional, I need to tell you that when we were piloting at the very beginning, before we published, we had three schools that we did some piloting of lessons. The teachers shied away from the engagement. Like they just kind of wanted a lecture. And we're like, no, 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 we don't lecture with this curriculum. We get kids talking. And we had to actually go out and demonstrate how to do this at some of the pilot schools. And we've had to be very intentional in our write-ups in the teacher's guide, really talking about how that engagement can lead to successful conversations, which can in turn lead to successful and healthy students, healthy adolescents. And that's what we're looking for. So a little long-winded there, but it kind of ties everything together.
Dr. Stokes, what do you want teachers and school administrators to know about this mental health curriculum?
You know, I think for teachers and school administrators, what's so important is to understand that you as an organization, you are a stakeholder in a child, not only a child's educational development, but also their mental health development, right? And so if you have a school that fosters mental health practices, encourages optimal mental health practices, it's going to feed back into the school. It's going to feed back into the culture of the institution, but it's also going to trickle out into the community. And so I think the biggest thing for teachers and administrators to understand is that, you know, you can utilize your school as a platform to perpetuate mental health, not only internally in your school, but also to the community at large.
Dr. Bratton, what do you want parents to know about the curriculum?
Oh, good question. I think one of the things definitely true for parents, or honestly, and anybody, administrators, teachers, is, you know, I think I would want them to know that, I think as Dr. Stokes said earlier, you know, the focus on positive and strength-based mental health, and that being mentally healthy is not just the absence of a mental illness, that there's a lot that goes into that. And I see in, you know, families sometimes, you know, sometimes things are genetic, sometimes they're, you know, environmental. And so I think parents can learn a lot from seeing the curriculum, seeing the materials that come home with their child. We should also add, there are parent letters that are included with every lesson. So we want that homeschool engagement. We don't want it just to be something that's happening at school and parents have no clue, why is my child talking about this? You know, what is happening at school? So there are parent letters to help engage and, you know, that might facilitate conversation if a parent is wondering, what is happening? Okay, you're talking about anxiety. And so I think it's a conversation starter for home as well, because depending on, you know, the age of the parent and how the parent grew up, they might not have been, you know, comfortable with these conversations and these topics either. So I guess my message to parents would be, you know, engage with this. If you know your child is struggling, you know, again, engage with the content, see what's happening. But I would also say, and this is what we say to teachers and administrators as well, this is not meant to replace the possible need for a child going into counseling, going to see someone like Dr. Stokes. Obviously, we want to, you know, prevent that when we can, but this is not meant to, you know, remove the need for professionals in this setting.
I'd also like to jump in. If anyone is listening to this who's a parent and they know that their school does not have something like this, Concordia Publishing did something that I think is brilliant. They created a little flip book that's called Resilient Minds for Parents. And what they did was basically pull some of, I call it the meat and potatoes, like the best parts of each of these curriculums and put it together in a little booklet for parents. And there's facts about, you know, depression and self-harm and eating disorders and things like that. But there's also some devotions that families could do. So if you're a parent and your child is not at a school that has a program like this, you could do some family study yourself just by picking up their little pamphlet.
Dr. Karge, as we wrap up our time together, what are you excited about with this curriculum? What are you really hoping this curriculum will be able to do with the lives of children?
It's so exciting to see people talking about mental health. And that's really, for me, the biggest thing is I want them to talk about mental health. I want them to acknowledge what it is. And I want them to do it in a biblical way. And that's why I feel Resilient Minds has been so successful for us, is that we've been able to tie this to a real Christ-centered experience for everybody involved.
Dr. Stokes, what excites you about this curriculum?
Yeah, I mean, mental health is my passion, but to be able to have the opportunity to do that integratively with my faith is really a dream come true, you know, because these are two of the most important things to me in my life. And to be able to contribute to creating something that integrates both of these is truly a gift and an honor.
Dr. Bratton?
In addition to everything Dr. Karge and Dr. Stokes just said, especially about integrating faith, what excites me is that students and children may realize that, like, their emotions are okay. There's nothing wrong with them. And I think sometimes the world or, you know, other people may tell them something's wrong with them if they're experiencing these feelings and these emotions. So I just really think it's just good for the overall health, physical health and mental health of adolescents to learn that, like, there's nothing wrong with me. These are normal feelings. But now what can I do to help manage these feelings so that it doesn't manifest into an unwanted behavior? And so that's sometimes where I think we have to separate, you know, emotions are okay, but we want them leading to more productive behavior. So I just want students to receive that message that there's nothing wrong with them.
Certainly a great resource available at cph.org. Resilient Minds, great resource. Our guest today, Dr. Belinda Karge, professor in the School of Education at Concordia University Irvine. Dr. Karge, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Dr. Kara Bratton, assistant professor in the School of Education at Concordia University Irvine. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And Dr. Jeremiah Stokes, licensed psychotherapist, owner and clinical director of Stokes Counseling and Consulting in Maitland, Florida. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, you can find Resilient Minds curriculum by visiting cph.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.